Hello, friends. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. It's about 9 o'clock on Monday, September 8th. This is Kirk Henderson, joined as always by Josh Bowe. We are inching one day closer to actual basketball season. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. I can't wait for training camp to start.
Which we're still got like 3 weeks.
I know. We're in that weird, so close yet so far away.
Yeah, but there's stuff now. And you know, we talked on Thursday, and there were, I remember specifically saying a few times during the pod, like, I want to talk about that next week. And then I couldn't remember what those things are when I was coming up with the rundown. So that was fun. Yeah, you know, we're just kind of in the weird part of the schedule still, but Eurobaskets be bopping along, watching Luka taunt the Italians was genuinely funny. And you know, the Mavericks things that are here are the kind of, they're the stories you got to dig for, like, if you're not paying attention, cause it's Cowboy season, but there actually have been a few Mavericks things to talk about. And, I think we'll just lead off. This will probably be a shorter show today. We're not even going to do remember some guys because I'm tired. But I did, you know, over the weekend at the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, it's important to understand that it's the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. The 2025 class was inducted, and that class included a team, which doesn't happen. I mean, team stuff happened, but it's like this. I just wouldn't have guessed this would have been the team. And it was the 2008 Redeem Team. And every single member of the team, with the one exception being obviously Kobe Bryant, who has passed away, was there, including the coaches and all this sort of stuff. And there were some fun clips. And it was, I really like, I just sort of wanted to talk about, number one, like, kids' role on the Redeem Team. But number two, kind of the team as the whole. Did you watch anything adjacent to this weekend? Or is this kind of, did this sail right past your radar because it's off season?
This sailed past my radar because I just wasn't in the house a lot.
That's for the best. I mean, like the NBA doesn't do
it. The only thing I saw was, like, Dwight Howard made some comments or something that tried to make some jokes, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, you know, and like, Hall of Fame is like I mean you're a lapsed mega baseball fan. Honoring history is probably the thing the NBA is worst at. Compared to football and baseball, the Naismith Hall of Fame being a distinct, like, sort of a worldwide basketball Hall of Fame means that they don't have any, like, specific ties to it other than it's mostly filled with their players. And I just don't think they feel the need to promote it as much, which is frustrating because the NBA and really basketball history is pretty interesting. Some of the teams that have gone in before are pretty awesome. I want to say like the Argentine basketball team that defeated the Team USA in 2004 or 2006. That's what it was. Is that right? Yeah, that is 02. No, it's 2002. That's right. It was the World Cup 2002 where kind of Manu came out of nowhere. That team like was inaugurated a while back. And it's like really fun to just see all these guys get together. And, you know, the 2008 Redeem Team was pretty fascinating because I obviously watched all this stuff. Like USA basketball is something I've always been very highly invested in. That was actually where I kind of, back in 92, that was sort of my first real investment with basketball. And that, the Dream Team obviously was huge for the NBA, et cetera. But so the Team USA lost in 2002 in the World Cup. They lost in 2004 in Greece in the Athens Olympics, and then they lost in 2006 in the World Cup. Not lost, they got bronze in all three events. But up until that point, you know, from basically 1992 on, I don't think the United States lost a game until that 2002. So it's like 10 straight years of winning basketball, for at least in the major events. And so there was this big buildup from 2007 where Team USA actually had to qualify in the AmeriCup. In order to qualify for the Olympics. And that was moved from Venezuela to Las Vegas. That was where I first saw my friend Marcelo playing international basketball on television. And I was like, what is happening? And so I just got very invested at that point. Kid basically took a break from international basketball from 2003 until 2007. He was on the 2007 team. He played a little bit, and then they rejoined the 2008 team. And one of the things I found researching in this team, and this is, you know, stuff I knew, but it kind of like fell out of my brain. Kid was 35 in 2008. Okay. We all know that because he was obviously with the Mavericks and they won the title with him at 38 in 2011. But he was the oldest player by 5 years on the Olympic team. Kobe was the only other player in their 30s. And so, you know, he was like probably the 10th guy in terms of per minute games. Like he didn't play a ton, but he was the vet. He was the team's vet. And during the induction and some like the interviews, LeBron and Jason Kidd had some really like if you're a conspiracy theorist, had some delightfully entertaining exchanges about how much they like each other. So that was, you know, that was just a fun part of it. It's great to see everybody there. Dwight Howard was officially involved in the Hall of Fame, like as a player. So was Carmelo Anthony, but they're both also on that team. And the part that made this particularly interesting, and I know I've talked for like 2 straight minutes, I'm sorry, was this is like the first team I think that's gone in that still had active players on it. So Chris Paul and LeBron James. So that was something.
No, yeah, that's cool. I mean, that was a big moment in international basketball, that 2008 team. And yeah, Kidd, I mean, how does it work? Is Kidd in the Hall of Fame twice?
Yes, yes. So you get involved. This is a very good question. You can be inducted into the Hall of Fame for your different roles. Very few people have done it that way. Like Jerry West is in both as a player and as a... Yeah, and then they have this kind of like catch-all like basketball contributor you can enter as well. I want to say like the Mavs CEO Rick Welts might already be in the Hall of Fame for his like basketball contributions. Could be, whatever. Oh,
well, that's cool. Getting the Hall about Rick. I can't imagine the list is super long for guys
right. who
have gotten in twice.
That's exactly right. And that's why it sort of caught my eye and why I just thought I would lead off about it. Because it's like, I bitch about Kidd incessantly and plan to do so again in the upcoming season. But that doesn't take anything away from Kidd himself. You know, it's like he's just been involved with the fabric of basketball since he burst on the scene at Cal. He's just everywhere all the time. And I remember seeing at the 75th anniversary All-Star game, like him kind of become fanboyish when like Michael Jordan entered the room.
Yeah.
Like just stuff. I don't know. It's like for as cynical as he makes me feel sometimes, I also think he really does. Like he's just such an important part of basketball. And that's fascinating to me.
No, I agree. And you know, he had a legendary career. I mean,
yeah.
it, like you just kind of said, involved because he won rookie of the, like yeah so like I mean he won rookie of the year and so from there it felt like every season he was in the NBA he was exceedingly relevant even you know in his late 30s early 40s mm-hmm. and then he leaves and he wasn't retired for very long until he becomes a head coach so like he's just always been in it he's always been in the mix like you said like he's never really gone away which is kind of funny
yeah. Well, and in coaching adjacent news, I think I didn't put this in the rundown, but it's worth acknowledging.
No, we talked. You sent me a message about it. Unless you're talking about something different. You're talking about assistant coaches?
Yeah, they finalized their coaching staff and put out a press release.
Yeah.
So I just think it's worth mentioning because it's a pretty interesting coaching staff. We knew most of this, but like reading it all on page together is pretty fascinating.
It's obviously hilarious. No, go ahead.
Jason Kidd is head coach. Frank Vogel is the associate head coach with Jay Triano, Popeye Jones, Phil Handy, Mike Pembernathy, two guys I've never heard of, and Drew Anthrop and Jordan Sears. Those are the new coaches to this staff. And then Eric Hughes and Josh Broghammer and Keith Venny are the returning assistants. Hilariously big coaching bench. Almost, it's how many guys is this? I don't even count. It's many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 coaches, including Jason Kidd. That's for 15 players.
And there are 1, 2, three, four, five of those 11 were on the 2020 Los Angeles Lakers.
Right. It's just this whole wife swap thing is getting gross. And Cowboy in the chat asks, no, God, Sham God, the Mavericks let his contract expire and he went to Orlando, which they need ball handling help. I will say, if you are unfamiliar with Phil Handy, Phil Handy's kind of Kyrie's guy, and is a apparently like quite a well appreciated coach around things. And we were griping about the fact that the Mavericks let a lot of guys walk, and then they seem to hire a bunch of people that are worth having. So I'm not going to care about the coaching staff. Like Jason Kidd could take a flight to Aruba for 4 weeks and they would be fine, because they have a really pretty deep bench.
Yeah. The only thing, Jordan Sears is a North Texas native, it seems.
Okay.
He's coached the Legends, but he went to, I don't know if he was a native, but he went to Texas Wesleyan, which is
okay.
And yeah, well, Wesleyan University, I'm assuming that's what they mean by right. that. That has to be Texas Wesleyan. So yeah. And then I guess, you know, the other thing to note is coach that's not on this list is Daryl Armstrong, who I guess the Mavericks are just going to quietly hope everyone forgets that happened.
They that's really right.
Publicly commented on it, but he was arrested earlier this year, and I believe they set a court date for him. I think at the time the Mavericks said it. I don't even think the Mavericks said it. I think it just got reported that he was suspended.
Yeah. And
literally nothing has come out from that, so I assume they just fired him. But they didn't want to make a stink about it, I guess. But his name is not on this press release, so.
Which is fine. We sort of learned during the last time he got arrested that there had been some other incidents that we hadn't really remembered. And it's like, you put them all together and you just can't.
No. I mean, honestly, the weird thing was, why did they even, we were wondering, why is he even suspended? Like, just fire, just see it. Right. But that appears to have happened now, so.
It's fantastic. I will note before we go to our break here, the bringing home of Dallas Mavericks legend Popeye Jones is extraordinarily important to me. I will do a screen share real quick so we can all laugh at Kirk, because it's worth seeing this if you've never seen me share this before. You can't see this if you're listening to the show, but if you're watching the show, there is a tweet of me. It's a photo of me and Popeye Jones in, I want to say it's the summer of 1996. I had just moved to Texas and was at a basketball camp with him. During the course of the camp, he was traded to the Toronto Raptors. And this is monumental for a couple of reasons. Not only did Popeye Jones go to Allen to have the rest of his odd career, both of his sons got into hockey. That doesn't happen unless you move to Toronto. And because, I mean, it's like a national pastime, basically, is hockey. And I am pretty sure both of his sons are in the NHL. I should Google this. Popeye Jones, sons in NHL. Let's just look. Awesome. Seth Jones, two sons. Yeah. Seth Jones and Caleb Jones. Seth Jones plays with the Florida Panthers, and Caleb Jones is a defenseman with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, that's just a preposterous stat. Like, so many NBA guys have NBA sons, NBA hockey men. I love it. I don't know. I love it. Anyway, I'm very happy because he was nice to me when I met him a couple years ago in Las Vegas and told him the story, and he laughed so loud. I think you could hear it on the TV.
That's great.
We were in media.
Did you show him the picture?
I showed him the picture. He was like, "Oh my god!" Because he obviously very clearly remembered the time, because it was so tumultuous. Like, it was just a great. You know, the Mavericks were so bad in the '90s. Anyway,
yeah. And then he came back for that swan song season. That's how I remember him.
Did he really? What season was that?
OT played for the 02-03 team.
Yes, he
didn't play a lot, but he was on that team.
The fun team.
Oh, yeah, right. That's like the 03 Mavericks are like. the birthing of my basketball consciousness. So,
well, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk about two more subjects and then we'll get out of Dodge and we'll see what other basketball things will happen. So please wait around for the ads. I know they're long, but it's important. It's really the only way Josh and I make any money off this thing. So if you'll listen, we will be right back. All right. Thanks so much for waiting. If you haven't subscribed to the show and you're just like wandering in for the first time, please go ahead and do so. Josh and I will be recording regularly. I don't think we will do all the preseason games just because I think we need to give our wives as much break as we can. I don't think we go from October till April again. We're going to stay married. I think we can pull November to April and maybe, you know, hopefully into May a little bit, but it's just, it's really taxing to do that many, as many shows as we do with the schedules that we have. But I am going to attempt to have friend of the show, Jason Gallagher, on this week. He said he wanted to talk. And then I have Rob Mahoney as somebody penciled that I'm going to talk to. He's, you know, if you know him, he's from The Ringer. Let's see here. The next thing I want to talk about, I need to find this post from, it was like one of the, you know, one of the various Mav aggregator accounts shared this thing the other day about, here it is. So @NationMFFL shared this tweet and it's from this website called The Heavy, and heavy.com has been doing this sort of stuff for years, but it just drives me nuts. And Ronnie 2K, the guy who helps do all the 2K stuff. Like I don't know how I would accurately describe Ronnie 2K.
Does he actually work on the game or is he like a PR frontman for the game?
He's the face. He has, his Twitter profile says face of NBA 2K. So it's fair enough. But this was a quote that he gave. I've been talking to Cooper Flagg a lot the last couple of weeks, and he's already trying to shape up how he's going to fit into the Mavericks by playing NBA 2026 with himself, integrated with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. He might not get to play with Kyrie for a minute, so it's kind of cool that he gets to simulate that, see how the off-ball movement is. Our AI is so good. It really simulates the authentic experience of being on the court. This killed me because I hate 2K with the fire of 1,000 suns when you actually like play the game itself. When was the last time you played a 2K game?
Oh my God. I used to play them every year. Probably the last time I legitimately like got into one was probably around 2K14 or 2K15. And I stopped because I was like, these aren't getting it. It's the Madden thing. Yeah, people complain about Madden, where they drove out all the competition, and they just released the same game every year without, because it's going to sell, you know, 100 million copies. It doesn't matter what they do.
So I have a couple of really good friends that play it religiously when it comes out, and I think the simulation elements and the sort of like general managing element of the game is apparently still fantastic, but the gameplay stuff drives me crazy, where they do things like nerf your player where you just can't make shots right near the basket for no good reason, and it turns me into a madman and I can't play the game anymore. So this whole like quote really made me laugh, because I find the gameplay of 2K itself to be lacking, but the people who like it really say it's fun.
The more realistic it got, the less fun it got for me, because I felt like they had to include every single animation from every single player, and I felt like when I was playing it, I would like do a dribble move and it would like flow into an animation, and I feel like the game was taking control away from me because it needed to play out Dwayne Wade's pixel perfect spin move or whatever, and I'm like, okay, but I want to do something else. It's like, you started the spin move, now we have to finish the spin move, and I'm like, that's not how basketball works.
I will tell you, the way the Mavericks are built are probably like a video game monster, because it's like the way everybody's 6'9" and can defend on the Mavericks roster but D'Angelo Russell, so it's probably very fun to play with them. I just found it's, you know, look, there's zero to take away from this, because the fact that Kyrie, the just another person hand waving Kyrie tore his ACL and didn't get it repaired until late March, that is just going to continuously make me laugh. But it was something worth, you know, just sort of passing over as we're in the doldrums of the NBA season. I Flag was also, I don't know if you saw this, Flag was part of a Gatorade commercial over the weekend that got aired a lot during the NFL games. I regret to inform everyone his goatee is even thicker, to where he looks like a bit of like a 90s movie villain, which is actually something I can get behind. The wispy thing is not for me. But seeing Flag, like, Flag's going to be a big push. You might say, oh, that's obvious. I don't know. The NBA is very confusing with some of these things, but it's, yeah, the more Flag gets talked about, the more excited I am to sort of hear from him and watch him play with guys. You know, we're inching closer to having to talk about the fact that, like, what, you know, we've gone all offseason about it, but we're gonna see basketball where the Mavericks don't have anyone who can dribble, and it's just very funny. All right, so the last thing that I think is worth talking about is the Mark Cuban inserting himself in the Clippers story. How much of this have you consumed? Because I know sometimes you're just like, I'm not gonna
I've consumed the actual story. I have not consumed the Cuban part of it, because I am making a point, and I know this is stupid because we run a Mavericks content media website and podcast, but Mark Cuban is no longer important to the direction of the Mavericks franchise. And I feel like I don't have to care about what he says. Be like,
well, we could end the show right there, and I think also hilarious.
And I don't blame anyone. Like, you know, he's still a figurehead. He's still a very prominent public figure. But like, before, we would have to get mad about what he says, because it's like, oh my God, this is the guy who is calling up owners and GMs and making trades and signing free agents and scouting and making draft and calling in the commissioner for draft picks. Well, he doesn't do that anymore. So now if he says something stupid, it's like, oh, well, that's nice. Like, it, you know, I don't have to worry about the direction of the franchise because of what Mark Cuban has to say anymore. But please, you consumed. So I would like,
well, this story is not getting any smaller.
No,
what's pretty amazing. Like, Zach Lowe had a legal expert on today, and the partners of the league, your ESPNs of the world, aren't covering this story well. The True Hoop Collective did a good job with it. I felt that Ramona Shelburne's interview of Steve Ballmer was the softest of balls.
Well, that was everyone. That's the point. That's her. That's what she does.
Yeah, but still, I think she's a talented journalist, and this was a disservice to her because Ballmer just sort of put out PR statements throughout it, and it was very rough. So Cuban essentially says almost immediately after Pablo Torre's story comes out, and it's, you know, the only reason Pablo did this, and this is not slant, you know, waving a hand at Pablo's work. They read through 3,000 pages of documents that came out as a result of a bankruptcy. So they found something that was public. It just, who would have thought to look or care?
Yes, sports reporters, especially
sports reporters, right? Because sports reporters just don't, like, there's just no market for investigative journalism anymore. It's why it's not done. But Pablo decided to look into this, finds this information, basically puts it out into the world. Now, there's no smoking gun to this day. So it's right now, it's Monday the 8th. The story's been around for, I don't know, 8 to 10 days. The smoking gun is the audaciousness of what's happened here, which comes down to the fact that Steve Ballmer invested $50 million into a company that has since gone bankrupt. The challenge is, within that company's documents, there is a contract for Kawhi Leonard that totals up, between stock options and cash, $48 million.
Yeah.
So anyway, when the story
didn't do anything, that's the
didn't do anything. Like, it was not publicized. It was like
this probably all goes away if he did like one tweet,
one thing,
or commercial. Yeah.
There was a story there about how he made four times as much money as any other celebrity, including some of the biggest names on the planet, like Leonardo DiCaprio and so on and so forth. Anyways. So Cuban, the day the story first comes out, and this is when Pablo is able to trace $28 million and where it went, which is to Kawhi. The additional $20 million was found out literally the day after Cuban did this interview. So Cuban basically says, you know, I just don't believe Steve's this dumb. I want to talk to you about this, meaning Pablo. They proceeded to have a three-hour, it was edited down for clarity, in which Cuban seemed to protest a little bit later, which is just classic Mark Cuban. He did the same thing to us when he was on our show, where he's like, you weren't the prick that you were. And it's like, no, I'm not. I don't hate you, Mark. I hate your decisions. There's a difference. They had a discussion which boiled down to Mark Cuban saying, I don't believe Steve Ballmer is this stupid to have done something like this. To which Pablo Torre would say, then why do you and everyone else keep saying Steve Ballmer is among one of the most brilliant investors of our time? So you're telling me he invested in a bad company and then did no due diligence before, during, or after? And so when I say due diligence, what I'm describing is Ballmer and his people did not – what Cuban was essentially putting out into the world is Ballmer – specifically, the Clippers, all the people around Ballmer did not look into this company, which was, it's pretty clear, a farce of a company from the get-go. Like, it's as close to, like, I don't want to say money laundering, but I'm just going to say it's money. It feels like money laundering adjacent. Now, I've talked to lots of people out in the sports world who are kind of like, this is done all the time. Like, why are people upset? Like, duh. Only, I think the challenge becomes the amount of money that was involved. And when I say there's no smoking gun, what I mean is there's nothing that specifically ties this to Ballmer other than Ballmer making the initial investment. There's nothing, there's been no documentation that shows that this was done with the intent purpose to make Kawhi whole for the fact that he gave up his bird rights to go from Toronto to the Los Angeles Clippers, even though the numbers are shockingly close. I mean, that's what I mean by this whole story is a smoking gun, where it's like, at this point, it's safe to say everyone knows what happened. Only there's no proof other than everyone's like, duh. And I mean, everyone. Like, this has become a situation pretty quick where it's like this. And so Cuban sort of inserts himself into the story early and is like, well, you know, Steve Ballmer can't know what was done on his behalf. And I'll just tell you, folks, it reminded me a whole lot of 2018 Mark Cuban saying, I couldn't have known what was going on under my tenure. I couldn't have known that women were being sexually harassed. I couldn't have known that I was directly dealing with an in-house media reporter who had a criminal record. It was just really bothersome to me. And he, you know, we don't know why Dirk re-signed that deal that he did. Frankly, I don't care. I don't want to know. And I just really wish that this was one time where Mark had just not said anything, because I talk often about how I get frustrated with elements of being an accountant and being a fan, like have to go together these days. I also don't want to be a business person. I don't want to have to think, you know, I know stuff goes off. Everybody that's an adult should understand that, like, agreements are happening along the side that we don't know about, but I don't need that stuff in the sun. I just don't. And now I think what's going to happen is there's nothing you can do to the Clippers. There's nothing you can do to any of these teams. I mean, Jalen Brunson took an undermarket deal. Are we going to find something there? I don't think we are, but everybody, like, right now, everybody's just like, oh, now we have to pay attention to this. And I don't like that. I don't want to have to think about that.
No, I don't either. I didn't see a lot of the interview, but there was a really funny clip where I think Cuban told Pablo, like, I've invested millions of dollars with people I've never met. And then Pablo was like, have you invested $50 million? And there's like 10 seconds of silence. And he goes, no.
To his credit, he sort of threw himself on the altar of like, here are the bad decisions I've made, and this is my experience with this. These are the times that I've been scammed. He's like, I've been scammed a couple of times, and I've had to make people whole. And he's like, I just regret some of my choices, which is why he feels so strongly about it. And I want to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in this regard, because, like, one of the things that I'm very hard on Cuban all the time, I think Cuban believes everything he says. That's part of the challenge of dealing with somebody like him, is he believes in his own good intentions. You know, it's the same thing that happened when he sold the Mavs. He's like, I believed these were the right people to do. And it's like, I appreciate you saying that, but what good does that do us?
Yeah, okay. But then, you know, we can't, like you said, Steve Ballmer can't be the smartest owner in the NBA and then also get his pants pulled down by a fake company. Like, it's one or the other.
And I'll just be clear, I don't think Steve Ballmer is the smartest owner of the NBA. I think he owns stock in one of the best companies of the last 150 years. And during his tenure at Microsoft, if you know anything about it, it was when he was CEO, even though he's a co-founder, when he was CEO specifically, Microsoft made some hilariously bad decisions, like unbelievably bad decisions. He is just simply wealthy because he has so much initial stock. Like, I don't want to say he's stupid, I'm not implying that, but it's like this, oh, he's the smartest. And come on. No. Sorry. Yep. I'm with you. How you doing? Everything else okay?
Yeah, everything else is all right. You know, Maddie, our daughter, watched K-pop Demon Hunters and listens to it in the car every day.
See, and you're not on Instagram, because I get some absolutely riotous memes that, like, just some of the stuff that comes into my feed now is so funny that's K-pop Demon Hunters related.
Yeah. That's about it.
What else? Are you glad football's back?
I am, but I, you know, my favorite team, because just nuked itself, you know, right before the season started. When they
I thought that first game went pretty well.
Oh, it did, but they, you know, you're watching it and like, well, what if they had the best, maybe the best defensive player in the league?
And yeah, he gave a quote though after that Packers game where it's just like, and this is me being old, but he gave a quote that was just like abdicated all responsibility in what happened in Dallas, and I hate that.
I know. I don't necessarily like that either, but I also like having
he's so good.
The best player.
I get it.
It's kind of killed the season for me a little bit, because expectations I didn't really have any anyway. But I mean, I'm glad football's back. I like football.
Now you're still in that part where your kid wants to go do stuff, and it's good to be active. It's great to be active. But
yeah, I saw Parker, Kevin Gray was in the chat, and I found out just browsing Twitter, he's apparently a Missouri fan. I guess he went to Missouri, and I like Kansas, and Missouri beat Kansas in football this Saturday. Yeah, which they don't really have anymore because they're not in the same conference. So I think they just started that up again.
Tell me you saw what the Mizzou fan did before the game. They were like having a field goal competition.
I didn't see what happened.
This fan basically is supposed to, you know, kick a field goal, try to win scholarship money, something like that. He takes off his shirt, and he's a Mizzou kid, and he has a lewd message on his chest, and he, like, you know, stands in front of the Mizzou or the Kansas crowd taunting them. And then instead of kicking the field goal, he turns and kicks it at the Kansas team along the bench.
That doesn't shock me. And I know you've got roots to the, I mean, you lived in Kansas City.
Yes. Till 96.
Yeah. And I know your parents, your family's up there, and though that is bad. You know, I was there for 2 years in Kansas. It's
random. Like, it's like,
no, it's deep.
Isn't it like Civil War adjacent? Like, yes, isn't that how far back it goes?
It's literally Civil War adjacent. This is how I know how bad it was. When I was there, it was either my freshman or my sophomore year. I can't remember the actual historical event, but basically, you know, Lawrence, Kansas, I think was like an abolition town, you know, during the Civil War. Yes,
that's right.
And people from Missouri went into Lawrence and like burned the town down, like pro-slavery, you know, Confederacy people. And I don't know how many people died, but Missouri student section put up shirts when we played them in football that said it had like an image of like Lawrence burning down from that massacre. And they had like something, something. Oh, and the number was the amount of people that died in
Lawrence. Holy shit.
And it said scoreboard underneath it.
What? Like, college students are insane.
It's fucking, yeah. It was in. I mean, a lot of people got in trouble for that one, as you can imagine. But I remember seeing that and be like, where the fuck am I? Like, what is going on?
Right.
But yeah, there is some deep-seated hatred between those two schools. That's for sure.
I'm just delighted football's back, in the sense of, like, I love seeing the larger high schools have like hype mixes that are like out of, it's just like, you know, back in when we were in high school, you ran through a fucking banner and yeah. and maybe WFAA would have something about your team on the 9 o'clock news. And now it's the best. I love football. It's so funny. Okay. So I already told you guys maybe a little later in the week schedule, Josh and I'll be back next week. We got some stuff starting to pop up on the site. We have our guys doing that, like gambling, kind of doing some season previews for other teams. There's just not much about to say about the Mavericks right now, and I don't want to do the thing. I don't want to do the thing where we throw everything out that we're thinking before anyone's paying attention. I mean, the people don't pay attention to the Mavericks in this area until January anyways, but it's like even the hardcore basketball fans don't really tune in until the season starts. And like, the season starts like October 20th and that, you know, that kind of time. So yeah. I don't know, but man, our guy, Cowboy in the chat, is just told us how old he is when he said the Louisville Fighting Farmers were a 3A team when I was in high school. So that that is saying something, my friend. That is we appreciate, man. Good guy. Brandon is his name. Anyways, all right. So we'll be back. Thanks so much for hanging out, Kirk and Josh. Go to Mavs Moneyball and refresh the page. Maybe we'll have written something. Who knows? Everybody, we will talk soon. Go Mavs.